Hey there, Slump Busters. It's time for episode 77, and a very special episode 77 at that. Our guest today, someone who knows a thing or two about coaching in the NFL, that is going to be former OC of the Cincinnati Bengals, former head coach of the Oakland Raiders, former head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Yes, I'm talking about Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson joins us on the Slump Buster podcast. He tells us what he's up to, tells us about the NFL coaching experience, some of his stops along the way. And because we really appreciate Hugh coming on the show, I want to give a shout out to the Hugh Jackson Foundation, an organization that Hugh has put out there that's committed to empowering children, teens, and adults through awareness, education, and prevention of human trafficking. Very important cause, so I encourage everyone, hughjackson.org, go ahead and check it out. Donate to the cause. Human trafficking, that's a cause we can all get behind, but stopping. Slump Busters, you know what to do. Help out Hugh. Our second guest is going to be some familiar voices to the show. It's a new voice to the show, but you've heard of this pod before. The Boda Boys, the Boda Sports Podcast. James, Zach, thank them for coming on. We talked about the latest Woj bombs that keep getting dropped daily. We talked about what's going on in NFL Week 11, and also talked about our impending fantasy football matchup and who's going to come down with that W in the Caster League. Stay tuned for that. But before we do this, folks, we have to give a shout out to our sponsors, our paid partners, our friends. Why not indulge in the number one in men's grooming? I'm talking about manscaped.com. And if you use promo code SLUMP, you won't be a chump. In fact, you'll save 20% off plus free shipping and handling on tons of great products like the Lawnmower 3.0, the Head Trimmers, the Crop Preserver. They have the perfect package 2.0, and it can all be yours. You will bust out of any slump if you have all these tools brought to you by Manscaped. No more nicks, no more cuts. They got all the products to make sure that you're smelling your best all day. Manscaped.com, I'm telling you guys, they are the best, and we work with the best. You want to know who else is the best in their field? NaturesReliefTX.com. Now, you've heard about a lot of companies selling you a lot of CBD these days. CBD is trendy. Well, let me tell you about a company that has organic, safe, tested, proven products that you will love. Hell, even your dog might love. They have products for your dog. Get a great night's sleep. Check out their nighttime gummies. Back in stock, and Nature Relief, if you use promo code SLUMP, again, you're gonna save some money. So go ahead and check out naturesrelieftx.com. Tired of saving money? Yeah, I know. Just the burden of having all that extra money in your pocket. Want to spend some more? Well, how about going on to Caveman Coffee Co. Now, Caveman has the nitro cold brews, the pumpkin spice lattes. They have the hibiscus tea. If you've seen Bryce Dallas Howard out there pitching the hibiscus tea, want to know why she's doing it? Because it's awesome. And you can have yours today. Get yourself a case. Go ahead, check out cavemancoffeeco.com. Use promo code SLUMP. Get yourself a mammoth blend too. cavemancoffeeco.com. Promo code SLUMP. But that's not all, folks. Our last sponsor, Razorsport.com. Tired of getting beat by Vegas? Yeah, of course. Who isn't? Because Vegas has been beating us for too long. Well, how about when we punch back? Let's go ahead and check out Razorsport.com. Now, they have a diverse crew of handicappers, betting experts, people that know what they're doing and know how Vegas thinks to tell you who to bet on, when to bet on, and why to bet on them. And those are all important tools in ensuring that you know the proper ways to beat the overs, beat the unders, whatever it is you're planning on putting your money in. Why not bet smartly and check out Razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. All right, guys. Thank you so much to Manscaped, Razorsport, Nature's Relief, and Caveman Coffee. But we know you've been waiting for it. It is officially time to kick off this show and hashtag Bust the Slump. Enjoy.
Quiet on the set, make sure my mic is on. Eris, Dre, and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude. Recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy. No way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction. Kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest. What's the basis? Pick an athlete, let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places. Sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot, poise the truth. Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place. Dreams become reality. Blowing outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Refs acting like Neanderthals. Phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all. Settle in, listen up. Free your time like Andrew Luck. Show's about to start. I suggest you buckle up.
Welcome in, Slump Busters. This is your host, Juju Talk Sports. And today's guest, Fantastic. Wonderful. Awesome. And excited to have him. The one, the only, Hugh Jackson. How are you doing today, Coach?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on your show.
One of my friends brought to my attention that you're currently doing your own like tequila business. Is that going on right now?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm involved in Gran Leyenda Tequila with a business partner, Daryl Spann. We're the only Black-owned tequila business in the world. We're doing some good things. It's USDA 100% organic tequila. We have all four flavors, from Blanco to Silver to Reposado to Añejo, and we're about to bring out Añejo Extra. So we're very excited about that space.
How did you get involved in that? Business partner you've known for a while?
No, I hadn't known him. So he knew somebody that I knew from high school. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had a conversation, met, spent some time together. Next thing you know, we developed a partnership.
Okay. And this like alcohol enthusiasm. Well, first off, let me ask, how does one enjoy alcohol or tequila and take it more as a hobby? Because for myself, whenever I think tequila, I just think about the college days, the long nights, and then the rough mornings.
Right. And there are tequilas that are just like that, which you just described. Ours is, like I said, USDA 100% organic, natural agave. You don't get a lot of that burn in your chest, and you also don't get that hangover the next day. And so that's why we're very excited about what we're doing. And tequila is the only upper in the alcohol industry. So, you know, that is the one spirit that you can take and it gives you a little fire. All the other ones are downers. So tequila is a real good alcoholic beverage to drink.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was used at one point as a kind of modern medicine, like in the early 1900s type thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, it was, because like I said, the benefit of it, a lot of diabetics are drinking tequila more so than anything because it has the natural agave. It's better for you. You just got to make sure you drink a product to make sure you're getting the best of the best.
Of course, of course. And of course, drink in moderation. That is the ultimate pitch to every alcohol
commercial. Drink responsibly.
Drink
responsibly and in moderation.
Make sure you got that Uber lined up, all that good stuff. Awesome. Yes. That's great to hear that you're thriving, doing a like nice little side venture, like after like coaching career. But am I the only one that's drawing the connection that, is it the Cleveland Browns organization drove you to start your own tequila company?
Well, I don't think they drove me to it. I think I really got into it, but football is not done for me. I just took a break and I'm going to come back and get to coaching this upcoming year.
Oh, that's exciting. We'll definitely get into that a little bit. But I did want to kind of like tie a couple of headlines into kind of like your like coaching story, and maybe you could give some insight here. So like one I wanted to really get touch on was, I think a lot of us would say that Jerry Jones is like a spry 78-year-old owner. So you coached for the Oakland Raiders back in the late part of the 2000s there under Al Davis. Kind of had a similar like track record to Jerry in the sense, older owner, had a lot of success early. And in recent years, the organization maybe hasn't been quite where it was. You ended up finishing 8-8 in your first full season there before they let you go. So I kind of wondered, is there like an added pressure, like coaching under like that type of owner with, like I said, the track record and is definitely on the back nine of their career?
Well, I think it's all how you see it. Al Davis was the guy that gave me an opportunity. And if he didn't pass, you know, he died during the season. If that didn't happen, I think I would have still been at the Oakland Raiders. He was my biggest champion. He created the environment for me to be the best I could be. And I'm very thankful for my time with him. And contrary to what people think and know about him, there's no question he's an icon. But he was truly about his coaches, his players, and the organization.
Yeah, tell me more about Al Davis a little bit, because so my grandfather, big time Raiders fan, loves the Raiders. So he remembers, of course, those more fond, those, you know, gritty Raiders teams. How was it like coaching in that organization? Obviously, completely new thing going on right now with the Raiders these days in their new home.
Right. No, it was awesome. I mean, the fans, there's nothing like your nation. There's nothing like the black hole. They're tremendously supportive of the Raiders. Al Davis, as I said, he was the icon. He was the leader of it all. As you see where they are now, it's because Mark Davis has done a really good job of putting John Gruden in charge. John has got that organization turned around and headed back in the right direction. Obviously, for the city of Oakland. It was disappointing to see the team go, but they're in Las Vegas right now, and they're the Las Vegas Raiders, and Las Vegas loves their team. And like I said, they're winning and doing great things.
Yeah, you're originally a California born and raised native yourself, correct? So absolutely. Did you have like fanhoods to the Raiders growing up? I mean, obviously they were in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, absolutely. I used to work for CSC Security when I was younger. And so we would go and guard the cheerleaders, fans in the Coliseum at the Raiders game. This is the first time I ever seen Al Davis in his white jumpsuit with a white towel draped over his shoulder. And it looked like he was leading the mafia out there. And I go, you know what? I'd like to work for that guy someday. And I had the opportunity to do that.
Well, it makes sense too. Like, obviously, I feel as though Al Davis and Coach John Gruden definitely had a lot in common. That's why they had a lot of success. Okay, well, let's talk about your other coaching venture. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't obviously talk about your time with the Cleveland Browns. The year 2020, we're seeing with the current New York Jets, obviously, they're struggling. They're not having a good year at the moment, and a lot of people are projecting them to be the next team to go with a 0-16 record. I know it's a very taboo subject, especially in the NFL, because I don't think anyone's really ever tanking. That's like the buzzword there. But a lot of people are throwing that word on them. When you first started with the Cleveland Browns, what did you get the sense of direction was with the franchise, at least in the first couple years you were there?
Well, I don't think it matters what I thought it was. The way I saw it is I came there to win, and we didn't win. And at the end of the day, that's how I have to approach it. That's the way myself approach it. That's the way our coaches approach it. That's the way their players approach it. And we didn't win there.
You're on record saying that you would have went with Carson Wentz in that first draft that you guys had together in the 2016 at number 2. Do you still feel strongly about that? And do you think that if you guys would have went in that direction, you guys would have been in a better spot?
I'll never change from what I thought, you know, back then. There's no question. I thought he was a really good quarterback and somebody who could have made the organization be in a better situation at that time because they were looking for quarterbacks. But, you know, we went a different direction and the rest is history.
In that next draft, though, obviously you're an offensive guy, a former quarterback yourself. You probably felt in a way we need to get that quarterback position figured out. So you went with Myles Garrett, and I don't think anyone will begrudge you too much for going after Myles Garrett. The guy's a physical specimen, amazing talent. But there was some good quarterbacks that came out of that draft class. Directly behind him, of course, you had Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and you guys went with another notable Deshaun in that one, Deshaun Kizer. What was kind of like the idea behind that? Was it just that you, when evaluating Myles Garrett, you're like, this guy's so far and above the other positions that you guys felt like you can wait on quarterback? Or were you planning maybe getting another veteran or just punting a year for the next draft class? Because the next draft class obviously had a ton of quarterback talent.
Right. No, I don't think it was that. I think we took who arguably was the best player in our draft at the first pick. We have more than one first round pick. So, I mean, we could have made a decision to do a lot of different things. We took Miles, ended up taking two other players late in the first round after trading out. There's a lot of things we could have did. You know, everything is 2020 is hindsight. But there were some really good quarterbacks in that class that year that could have really helped the football team.
Coaching while Hard Knocks is going on, that must have been an interesting thing for yourself. How is it trying to conduct a training camp when you have a whole camera crew running around, producers, all this stuff, extra stuff going on in the background?
Not hard at all. I think people put way too much stock into how hard it is because they don't get in the way. They stay out of the way, to be very honest with you. And that was my third time of being on Hard Knocks. So I knew what to expect. I thought they did a tremendous job. I didn't think they was an issue or they stopped us from being the best version of our football team that we could be at all.
There was a few kind of like scenes that always kind of like get keyed on when people talk about like your guys' season on Hard Knocks, in particular the coaching meeting with you, Todd Haley, having that exchange. When they were putting together that coaching staff for you guys, did you feel like some of those guys were maybe thrust upon you? Did you feel like you got a real opportunity to bring in your guys?
It doesn't matter whether they were thrust upon me or not, they were there. But I would think anybody who would look at that tape would catch themselves and say, wait a minute, this is a big time NFL team. They would not just practice guys and the coaches would know, or not practice guys, I should say, and the coaches would know. And that discussion was had a long time ago prior to ever starting the season. So obviously here's two new coaches who hadn't been in our organization. Maybe they forgot, maybe they didn't take good notes. I don't know what that was, but for them to voice what they were voicing made no sense to me.
Another notable scene, of course, is when you brought Baker Mayfield and Drew Stanton into your office and announced that Baker officially got the backup job. And that actually kind of makes me kind of curious about overall the NFL philosophy. I understand making the rookies kind of earn their stripes. Obviously, we've seen with Justin Herbert, and it's kind of a unique similarity, obviously, Tyrod Taylor being the veteran quarterback in both these instances here. But I was going to mention Justin Herbert. Obviously, we see he's looking fantastic right now for the Los Angeles Chargers. Is there really a basis anymore at this point when you do draft a quarterback in the top 10, short of having Aaron Rodgers in front of him, to making the rookie wait?
Absolutely. The team has to be ready. I mean, Joe Thomas was the left tackle, the all-pro, and we didn't know who the left tackle was going to be. You're not going to trot your first-round pick of the draft franchise quarterback out there and get him hurt, potentially. So you have to make sure that the team is ready. I think you're seeing that in Miami. I think you've seen that, you know, obviously in San Diego, a little different. But I don't think it's right to just – every situation is different, you know. And so you put quarterbacks out there when you feel like they're ready. We made a commitment to Tyrod Taylor as an organization. We did what we thought was right. And once he was injured, Baker was in there, and the rest is history.
And you'll forever be linked to, of course, Baker Mayfield. Obviously, there was that like late in the season moments with like Cincinnati, whenever you went to go coach with a friend in Marvin Lewis. With where Baker's at right now, the Cleveland Browns, obviously, they are having a little bit more success this year. They're currently, if I'm not mistaken, 6-3 as it currently stands, which is a great turnaround, and Baker's the quarterback for them. But Baker's been taking some shots currently from the media as, is he the guy? Are the Cleveland Browns going to pick up his fifth-year option? Stuff like that chatter is going on in the background. How do you feel about Baker, and how do you evaluate this year's version of Cleveland Browns?
I don't evaluate this year's version of the Cleveland Browns. I don't look at him like that. We made a decision to draft Baker first overall. I think he's very talented. There's not a throw he can't make. I think you have to play to his strengths in order to validate his value. And I think that's with any quarterback. I think that's with any player. I think some of the shots he's taken, like you said, I think they're unwarranted. But again, I'm not there to tell you the day-to-day to know exactly what's going on. But I think he's talented enough to be good enough to play in this league for a long time.
And you mentioned you're interested in obviously continuing your coaching career. The last time that you departed from a head coaching position, you had to really work your way back up. You went to Cincinnati, and over there, obviously, you had a good run again as an offensive coordinator, Andy Dalton. That team was overall, I think, a very underappreciated team in the early part of the 2010s. What you guys were doing over there? What is next? Like, what are you kind of like feeling, Coach?
Go back and be a coordinator. I mean, you just said it. I think it's hard for minority coaches, period. You know, when you look at just the grand scheme of things, there's only been 18 minority head coaches in the National Football League in 100-year history. When I left Oakland, I had to go coach on defense first before I worked my way back up on offense. Hopefully that's not the case now. I can go coach on offense and just keep on moving and grooving. But it's been hard. I mean, it's difficult. And that's really an issue, I think, in the National Football League. And it's something they need to address.
We'll get to the point where we're moving in the right direction. When you look at coaches like Eric Bieniemy coming up, I think he's probably next in line to get a opportunity to get that head coaching job. Do you think there's any particular reason why we might have like a minimal amount of minority head coaches in the league?
Well, I think you have to go back and dig through the beginning of the league, how it started, where it is today, all the things that happened in between there to truly understand why they haven't been a lot of minority coaches. And I think if you did your homework that way, I think you'll look and say, wow, this makes more sense instead of what's going on today.
Do you think you'll have an opportunity to be an NFL head coach again after like everything? If you like went in there, let's say you just kicked ass as a coordinator again, do you think that that door is still open for you?
I don't know. No door is ever closed in life. People can close doors for you, but you don't have to ever close a door. So I don't close any doors. I'm willing and able to accept any and every opportunity. So I don't know what anybody else thinks. I only know what I'm capable of doing and what I'm able to do.
Okay. Before we put a close on this, a question we like to ask all our guests here, and I want to definitely throw your way. I think this could be a very interesting insight. Favorite all-time sports movie? Go for it, Coach.
John Cappelletti.
John Cappelletti. Okay. I'm not familiar with that one.
See there? That's something you need to go look at. It's unbelievable.
Tell me about it more. I'm curious.
I think you need to go do your homework and check it out for yourself. And I think you'll enjoy it. You might even shed a tear.
Okay. So it's one of those that's going to tug at the heartstrings more than anything.
Yes, it will.
Okay, John Cappelletti. Any last words for the listeners? Any things you want to plug that you're doing right now? Obviously, again, shout out to Tequila Brand.
No, the tequila is great, but we also, I have a foundation called the Hugh Jackson Foundation. You can see it at hughjackson.org, where we deal with human trafficking. We have a facility that we partner with the Salvation Army in Cleveland, the Harbor Light District, where we house human trafficking victims to try to do everything we can to get them back in the mainstream and doing things really well. You know, obviously that's something that's near and dear to my heart. Along with the tequila and along with football. So those are the things that we're doing outside of the game.
A man of many hats, and honestly, that's a fantastic cause. So yes, definitely, guys, go ahead and check that out. We'll catch you next time.
This is message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only fruit I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped boxer briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
Hello guys, this is Juju Talk Sports. You like sports betting, right? Of course you do. Well, let's bust that slump. Let me tell you about RazorSport.com. Razor is a worldwide sports betting network all designed around helping you. Their diverse crew of handicappers produce plays the Vegas Sharps don't want you to know about. Go to their website right now and sign up for a free trial at RazorSport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, Sport.com. Proud partners of the Slump Buster Podcast. Check them out and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back, Slump Busters, but a very special welcome back, not only to you, but a repeat guest on the show. We're bringing in my favorite Bostonians without the Boston accents. My favorite friends from BODA, but our bitter rivals this week as we actually do play each other in the Caster League. A new face, though. Zach, welcome into the Slump Buster.
Hey, thanks, Juju. Appreciate it. I'm really happy to be here. Can't wait to talk about sports.
And you all know James, of course. James, welcome back.
Great to be here. Always a pleasure.
Slimy bastard.
Over here, we're talking shit about UT beforehand. And it's like, don't you know? That's like my team. My team by adoption.
I mean, I just went on the Sooner bandwagon. I guess the Sooner wagon? I don't know. I'm a hardcore Gamecock now because of my girlfriend. It's even more miserable. It's great.
The fact that you haven't even said you're a hardcore Gamecock, I don't think that those phrases should go side by side with each other, honestly.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't the best choice of phrasing for me. Yeah.
Phrasing. But on the bright side, hey, guys, if we get some breaking news, we get another Woj bomb here of the Celtics game into the top 3, that'd be huge for us because all 3 Celtics fans, right? Zach?
Yeah, baby.
I'm not reading the room wrong here.
No, you're right.
No, you know, general Boston fan, like basketball's hit or miss for me, but definitely a Celtics fan if I had a team.
Well, you know, I was caught off guard last time we had y'all on the show because I was expecting it to just be Patriots across the board. And then I got surprised when we had some Browns fans on deck, and I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. And not forget, you also had a Packers fan, too.
Yeah.
Always had a Packers fan. That's right. Drew's the Packers fan. James, you're the Browns fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
You picked the 2 people in BODA that don't actually support the Patriots. And that
it was hard to understand how a person from the city on a 20-year championship run chose the Browns as his team. No disrespect, of course, to Coach Hugh Jackson, who was actually starting off this podcast. If you listened and enjoyed that interview, definitely check out some stuff that Hugh's doing these days. James, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you have your thoughts on Hugh, the Cleveland Browns organization in the last few years. Respect to Hugh. Thank you for coming on the show, of course. I mean, it's huge. We were happy to have him.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, he was always a great players coach, right? I mean, if you can say, I'm keeping it nice, obviously, but like he was always a great players coach. The fans loved him for being that. So nothing but love for Hugh. Hope for nothing but the best.
You know, we talked about it. It's just like the Browns organization, those at least first couple of years with him, it's like, were they really putting him in the best position to win? Obviously, Sashi Brown was over there as the GM, and you guys were just trading off to get some picks. And yeah, everyone was embracing tanking. Everyone was trusting the process there in the mid-2010s. Obviously, the 76ers were a big part of that. They just made a big trade here. So again, speaking of these Woj bombs, because that's going to be a big thing about this episode here. So Al Horford, mm-hmm. we all love him. We all miss him as Celtics fans, but he's mm-hmm. on the move again. He moved from the Celtics to the 76ers, starting a little bit of a rivalry. If there's a team that we would have not liked him to go to, it's probably the 76ers. Goes there, and then they ship him off to OKC. So sorry, Big Al, you're kind of just out in the middle of nowhere now, because OKC recently just shipped off Chris Paul, CP3, he is now in Phoenix, out in the desert. Phoenix, I think, Trevor Ariza moved on to Houston. What's another move I'm missing here? Come on.
Bogdanovich.
Well, apparently I've been hearing things that that might fall through, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Well, the Bucks are over there trying to form a big three, and a very lackluster big three, if anything, with Bogdan.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, no, I think it was a Woj bomb and said that the deal may fall through. There was like a critical error or something. I didn't read into the tweet as much, but I definitely saw that. So that's an interesting thing to look at, especially if they're trying to form, like you said, the lackluster big three. Can't have a big three if, you know, that deal doesn't go through. So,
well, let's talk a not lackluster big three potentially. Is this going to be a big time move, or this is going to be a big time oof? James Harden obviously turned down being the first $50 million a year player with the Houston Rockets to go play second fiddle to KD and our old friend Kyrie. That just that just makes me throw up in my mouth when I think about that from a pure basketball perspective. There's only one ball, so you can't have all three guys just dribble and shoot.
Well, right now you're also looking at, I mean, if you want to get into the, like, I don't have any analytics to back this, but when was the last healthy season Kyrie finished? I can't even think of the last time he played over, I don't even know how many games. KD is coming off of an Achilles plus another injury to his Achilles after that, if I'm right. They have a new coach, and then James Harden, who apparently just disappears in the playoffs. So as worried as I am for the regular season, I'm not super concerned yet. I'm not slamming the panic button as a Celtics fan.
It just sounds like disappointment. It sounds like the world's most disappointing team, kind of like the 2018 Celtics that had Kyrie on it. You know, that's exactly the type of disappointment that I expect. So I'm noticing a common theme, a common denominator when it comes to the word disappointment. Can you name it? And is it standing out to anyone?
Is it bright and shining?
Does it wear number 11?
It also owns a shoe brand.
Ah, a SpongeBob shoe brand, if I'm not mistaken.
Somewhere
under the sea, under the flat sea.
I didn't want to bring it up. Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
It just, I don't think that Kyrie is someone that players can honestly believe in or teammates can believe in. Obviously, those Cavaliers teams before LeBron were a joke with Kyrie. So he was never really an alpha there. Then he goes with the Celtics. And in that first season, obviously, they have that great run, Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals without him. He even misses the Game 7 being on the bench for his teammates because he decides, oh, I just got to get surgery this day. Really? You couldn't move that one day? You couldn't do it the day before. You had to get it that day, Game 7. And then obviously that just has tremors throughout the locker room for the next year. He's trying to push like, oh, I'm the veteran. All these young guys have to bend to me in the following season. Doesn't work. Turns into Russell Westbrook during the playoff run with them in the next year. And then obviously in Brooklyn, Kenny Atkinson, who I actually thought was a pretty decent head coach, or at least had possibilities of being a decent head coach, led that team to the playoffs with half the roster. He's fired in his first season with KD and Kyrie there. That's
super interesting. I agree with you on Atkinson. I don't really understand it. I also don't understand bringing in Nash. I mean, I get he's probably going to be great, but a coach with no experience to lead three of the biggest personalities in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it looks like it's what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to get Kyrie. He's going to want the ball. And if you bring in James Harden, obviously, in KD, I mean, I feel like KD is the one out of the three that can take a step back and be like, all right, like, we can get the ball to these two guys. But, like, yeah, I just don't see it working out.
Well, you have to completely drain your bench, too, with this. Right. Spencer Dinwiddie, all of them gone. So you're just banking on all three of those guys. As you mentioned, they have injury histories, too. So if one of those guys goes down, you don't have the depth to necessarily get you through that run. And if you're Houston, you don't have to make this deal. I feel like NBA owners, at some point, put your foot down. Because like the guy has 2 years left on his deal. You don't have to trade him. I mean, you can trade him, but this is one of those examples of why people get frustrated with the NBA from time to time. And I think that James Harden, his best served, he's going to be on the better team in Houston. I think that team actually has a chance if he's in Houston because they're going to try and build around him. Like I said, it just screams second round playoff exit with the Brooklyn Nets if he goes there.
I feel like that's a ceiling. I feel like you're looking at first round playoff exit. I mean, that team, even with Harden, with or without Harden, they're a glass cannon. I mean, yeah, they got the firepower, but the injury history in all three of them, no, forget it.
Not to mention, we don't know if the chemistry is actually there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Chemistry, it would just be an absolute nightmare. I mean, these guys' egos, it just between one of them on your team is a problem, but you really want to combine them? You really want to put in that social media mess in the New York area code? We haven't even talked about the media being a thing. Kyrie and KD got to avoid that for their first year, obviously, with the injuries, and no one expected them really to win anything. But now with expectations, you put expectations into that mix. That's a big problem for all three of those guys. And I said this was my hot take, that I didn't expect the same combination of KD and Kyrie to still be around past the 2021 year. If you just throw Harden into that mix, then all bets are off at that point. I would actually feel comfortable, though, if they
You're adding gas to the fire.
Exactly. Definitely. I would feel comfortable, though, if they just told me it was a straight up Kyrie for James Harden deal. If you told me that, okay, I could kind of buy into a KD-Harden combo above even a KD-Kyrie combo. The combination of all three of those guys doesn't work for me, doesn't work for anyone in this conversation. Any of these recent trades, though, like obviously we talked about CP3 going to the Suns. Mm-hmm. Where do you grade that trade? I mean, I think it's a good move for the Suns. It's time for them to finally start getting taken seriously, I guess.
Yeah,
I think. Oh, sorry, Zach, cut you off.
No, you're good. No, I was just gonna say, I think it's good for Devin Booker to have someone like CP3 on that team. You're adding another really good scorer, but also he's getting that veteran aspect and that leadership. Also, he's getting put under his wing. So, I mean, I think that just adds to Devin Booker's potential, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's also a show of faith for Phoenix, because when you're dealing with a small market, you got to, if you have a star like Devin Booker, you got to keep him happy. And to this point, they've surrounded him with who? Right. So getting CP3 in there is a show of faith. Like, we're going to try. You just got to wait.
When it comes to Devin Booker, I've always felt like overhype. I mean, obviously he's had some huge games in his career. That 70-point game against the Celtics definitely stands out in my mind, but they lost. Actually, I think there's a unique statistic out there that he's actually scored over 54 times in his career and has lost all four of those. I might be wrong, but I believe that's pretty accurate as of last time I'm looking at it. And he had that huge run, of course, at the end of the bubble season there, finishing 8-0 with the Suns. But I think we got to stop making excuses for a guy that consistently finishes under 30 wins. It's the NBA. Like, one star we've seen can make a difference. I would expect it certainly a little bit more from the Suns in recent years. And I do think that is a little bit of an indictment on a guy like Devin Booker, even though he's a young guy. He's starting to get a little older. And I think it's time that we start, like, adding expectations to him as well.
Sorry, I just got distracted. The Bogdanovich trade has officially fallen through. That's where you're speaking right
there
now.
There it is.
There's the Woj bomb. So that's massive as well. He's seeking a sign and trade, apparently, away from the Kings. So we'll see how that ends up planning.
They'll probably try to rework the trade, and it'll still go through at some point. But, the details of why it fell through, do you have those, or it just said that it fell through?
I'm not seeing anything on my end.
Okay, well, I mean, that definitely hurts the Bucks as they keep this campaign to obviously try and keep Giannis in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. We know that every day that they don't make like a bigger move, that kind of starts becoming more of a fantasy. And they are now essentially said that we're in a win now window, because with the trades of Drew Holiday, they did mortgage a lot of their future. I believe I read 3 first round picks. I saw a meme out there that pretty much the drafts moving forward are going to be just OKC, New Orleans, OKC, New Orleans, OKC.
I know. I think I saw a stat through 2021 or 2022. OKC has 17 first round picks or something like that.
I mean, the Celtics kind of tried to do something similar, right? With Danny Ainge, just kind of like compile these draft picks and then build around that roster. But I think the problem with what they did is letting go of Billy Donovan. I would have liked them to have kept him around because he's kind of that coach that is able to build up young guys. Obviously, he had a very high-level college organization when he was with Florida, two-time national champions. I think that he would have been the right coach for this type of team that OKC seems to be building. But now that's gone. So now I don't remember who they brought in off the top of my head, who the OKC coach is moved forward. But I know he doesn't have Billy Donovan's track record, at least.
No, I'm trying to find it right now too, and I can't think of it. But yeah, I think Billy Donovan would have been better for that young team's development. I think you nailed the nail on the head. I think you hit it out of the park. They're not what they were. Like, they don't have the they don't have the Harden, Westbrook, Durant anymore. They didn't get lucky. So now they're just trying to rebuild and actually build something solid. We're going to see what happens.
You got to give it to Sam Presti there. I mean, he has been able to consistently build teams that have been able to at least compete and get knocked out in the first round, but at least compete.
For sure. You were asking us about trades. I got to say one that stood out to me. Sorry if I'm totally derailing this. I think we kind of mentioned it before, though, Juju, is the Sixers trade. Unloading Al Horford and his $50 million contract is genius. And it only cost them, I mean, a 2025 first rounder. Come on.
Yeah, and they do get Danny Green.
They get Danny Green for 1 year, who's fine. He'll become a free agent. And there was
But I mean, he's ultimately going to do more than Al Horford ever did for the 76ers. I mean, I want you to find the stat. How many games did he actually play for the 76ers? I guarantee you he didn't start any of those games. Like, he just, after leaving the Celtics, he crumbled.
Yeah, he was not the same. And clearly, it was a horrible team setup construction-wise. When you have, you know, obviously Ben Simmons, who needs the pain, when you need Al, who needs the pain, and then you have Joel Embiid. In fact, when you see Al shooting up from outside a little bit more, then that's concerning. Even Joel, it's kind of, he shouldn't be lining up from three. I mean, I get that he can hit that shot, but just because you can
doesn't mean you should.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
It's like Jurassic Park, that old question, you know, just because you can, you know, just ask, should I? Should I?
76ers are Jurassic Park.
Yes. Confirmed. Absolutely.
I think they might have to fight over naming rights with the Toronto fan base on that one.
Somehow I completely forgot about the Raptors, if we're being honest.
We'll start a new team. We just need someone to be the T-Rexes to battle it out with the Raptors in the East. I don't know.
Ooh, there
someone,
we go.
Someone who's not tied to their team name. I don't know. Orlando Magic. Orlando T-Rexes. It could work.
Perfect. Cool that. Sorry, anyway. Disney.
All right. Well, I mean, let's see. Other things. I mean, obviously, another one I saw on Twitter here. The city of Houston managed to get more first-round picks out of Robert Covington than they were able to get out of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. So Robert Covington, I mean, this guy just is all around the league at this point. obviously, he was a very sought-after prospect by all these analytics guys, including Daryl Morey. And then he doesn't even last but half a season with Houston. So, you know, now he's on where Trevor Ariza, again, just bouncing around the league every which stop he can. Lines back up in Houston himself. I don't know. We'll see what can happen with those Houston Rockets. Obviously, new regime change over there as well. Outright winners out of this, like, little free agency period. Anyone that you wanted to say has won to this point?
I mean, it's difficult. A lot of the trades are, you know, I mean, obviously the most substantial ones are going to be those Bucks trades. I'm going OKC. I'm going New Orleans.
Okay, so building for the future.
Stacked up first-round picks. I mean, just this Drew Holiday trade, the Pelicans get Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and they also get a 2020 first-round pick. 2024, 5, 6, and 7, they get swap rights and unprotected picks from one trade.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then I didn't even mention, before I even forget about this one, obviously the Lakers also made a trade too with OKC to get Dennis Schroeder. So they kind of made a modest improvement, a lateral gain to keep them occupied in case Rajon Rondo decides to leave them. I guess time to kind of like shift focus, of course. You know, we could look at the draft with this one. I think a lot of consensus right now is going to LaMelo Ball is going to go one. We've been talking about, of course, what's going to happen with the Celtics, whether they're going to get into the top three. How are you expecting the draft to play out, James?
Honestly, I mean, as much as I want to buy into this Celtics trading into the top three, I don't see it. I think it's all smokescreen, unfortunately. I would love to see them go for someone at the top, like we talked about, Wiseman and Edwards, get someone on the guard or at the rim. It'd be nice to really solidify that top five defense. I think, realistically, they're going to lock those three picks they have. I still think they go around and get another couple guards. They need an outside shooter. I think they are going to be shopping Marcus Smart. I don't think that's a hidden thing anymore. They're going to need to get someone to fill his shoes, and they're going to need to get someone in the paint. I'm just hoping for a good big man, really.
You mentioned that, though, like finding someone to fill Marcus Smart's shoes. I mean, you know, Marcus Smart, obviously, he is kind of that intangible guy for the Celtics. He had his first good shooting year in his career for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's even like a thing that we can even talk about in that locker room. That's like, obviously, the Warriors could have got rid of Draymond. They decided to stick with their guy. We're moving on from Marcus Smart.
I think it would be a hard move. I think it's a hard sell because you're talking about a guy who's a fan favorite too. But
yeah. Got rid of Isaiah, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, also fair.
Yeah.
At this point, if you look at the Celtics roster, though, they haven't really moved on from a lot of their young pieces. They have a very stacked roster in this draft. Having three first-round picks just backs them up even more. So yeah. Unless they get someone who's committed overseas for the next season and ends up playing in 2022, great. But I don't know what they do if they don't trade up. I'm going to say they end up moving some picks around, but I think they will lock a big man. That would be what my guess would be for the first round of the Celtics.
What do you think about the Warriors? Obviously, they're sitting there at two. Do you think that they are, whether or not it's the Celtics that try and move off with them, do you think they actually go with this, or do you think they are trying to get into that win now window, get back into that contender tier?
That's a hard one. Honestly, it's hard to say, especially because we just got the news before we started taping this, minutes before, about
Klay Thompson. That's right.
Klay Thompson. Yes. Thank you. Wow. So, you mean they've won their titles, but I think after clearing out and having injury problems, obviously Steph's had a weird year last year. I don't even remember how many games, if any, Steph played. So, I think they just start looking towards the future. I think Kerr is a good enough coach to build on that. So, I'd say hold on. They're going to get some good pieces. I think it would be more advantageous for them if this smokescreen isn't real to trade for those three picks. But we'll see.
Do you think it works if LaMelo Ball goes to Minnesota? Do you think that's a market his father always thought of for him?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, LeVar. God, no. I kind of forgot about LeVar until like a couple days ago, and the whole draft hype. I think he would hate that pick. I mean, I think openly he said that he wants New York or somewhere else. I
Can
forget
he
where.
Force his way out? I know that a lot of people would expect him to do that, given obviously his family's nature and everything like that. I mean, that would be a pretty NBA thing to do. Oh, I got drafted. I guess I'm just going to, I don't know.
Peace.
Own my New Zealand basketball team that I played for the previous year. He's full on Jack.
Smart move.
Yeah. Comparable Eli Manning move, definitely.
Probably. You know, I mean, you just don't see like that. The idea of someone doing that, I know every draft we talk about that. Oh, will this prime prospect hold out on there and do an Eli Manning? I feel like you just don't see that with the NFL anymore. It's more likely to be an NBA thing if it ever happens again. I don't know. Maybe Trevor Lawrence could buck back her, but then the Jets could finish 0-16 again. So
that's the funniest thing about, I know now we're deferring into football, but that's the funniest thing about the Trevor Lawrence debate is like, all right, so say the Jets don't get Trevor Lawrence and they maybe get Justin Fields or whatever. They're probably still going to wait for him next year and it's still going to be the Jets. Unfortunately, Jets fans, sorry.
I guess that's our transition, right, to get into football. So
yeah, I mean, that's as good as anything.
So let's kind of like go here first, guys. Of course. The Caster League.
Yeah.
We got everything going. You guys are sitting there pretty in the number one spot right now. But who's on that three-game heater? The Slump Buster Podcast. We started off in a slump, but we slowly busted it week after week. Thanks to our rookie quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, leading the way for us. Our running backs, trash, though. You guys can kind of attest to just running back being a struggling position overall anyway.
Yes.
Zach, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in most leagues that we're all collaborating on, like the Boda Boys, running back has just not been good for us. I mean, I feel like this league, though, specifically the Caster, having Rojo in there has been life-saving. He's taken over that one spot in Tampa Bay, and it's helped us immensely. And then, obviously, Damian Harris coming into his own. I think being in the spot we're in, yeah, they're not the two best options out there by far, but our wide receiver core is stacked, so it's nice for us to have that kind of offsetting balance there.
Yeah, I didn't foresee this season me going into week 11 with Salvon Ahmed and Duke Johnson Jr. as my starters, and that's not where I wanted to be ideally at the start of the year, especially since I invested high-round picks in running backs like Saquon Barkley at one, or, you know, drafting Kenyon Drake in the second round. Thank you, Kenyon. Now you're behind Chase Edmonds. That's really feeling good. That's really affirming my belief in you. At least on the bright side, we've got some good wide receiver play. We got Keenan Allen getting things going. Juju Smith-Schuster is coming around. Like I said, it's going to be interesting, but sitting there at 5-5, so we're creeping up on you guys. We got still one of those first-round buys. That's our goal.
That's the key, is getting that quick first round. Just take a week off. It's worked hard, you know? Enjoy it.
All right, but well, you know, let's get into the real life game here. So NFL Week 11 coming up. In terms of bye week situations, tough fight for seeding right now in the NFC, and that's a big part of that has been the NFC West. The Thursday night game this week is going to be the Cardinals, 3-point dogs going into Seattle. 6-3 for both these teams here. Who's the favorite? Who are you leaning? You got a +3 on the Cardinals? That's tempting.
I would destroy it.
Yeah, I would take the Cardinals strong.
100%.
That Seattle defense is awful.
Suspect.
Awful.
Yeah, I mean, adding Jamal Adams did the opposite effect for their coverage ability. And yeah, they're eating it. That's been a bad move for them overall. And the last 2 weeks, we've saw something we haven't seen too often. Russell Wilson is human, especially this year in 2020. He's had, I believe I saw 8 turnovers over the last 2 weeks.
It's been brutal as a Russell Wilson fantasy owner.
You just can't put like that much pressure on one player. As much as Russ is fantastic and amazing, that defense just is incredibly bad. For a Pete Carroll defense, that is the last thing you would have expected. And their first round pick, obviously this past year, was a Big 12 linebacker. You just like question like some of the moves they're making there. I think just because I don't believe that the Cardinals can sweep the Seahawks, I will actually go against you guys here. And I will say, I think that the Seahawks are going to get this win. I mean, I just don't see Russ having a third straight bad week on a short week. In prime time, he shows up. It's a prime time Thursday night game. Though it's going to be interesting to see what Kyler Murray does. It's going to be another shootout. That's what it's going to come down to for this game.
The NFC West is about to be the most entertaining division in football. That's a fact.
I mean, if it already isn't.
If it already isn't. If the 49ers can ever get healthy again, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, honestly, when you have $90 million in cap space on your IR, it's a bye week for them. So I don't have to watch that misery and pain. Every play, just asking yourself, okay, who's going to go down with a high ankle this week? That has literally defined our season. I said it on the last pod, but instead of revenge tour 2020, let's just get those shirts going for high ankle sprain 2020. That has summarized my Niners. That has summarized the pain we have felt. But,
oh, you're a Niners fan, huh?
You know, that's what the helmet in the background signifies there.
No, you can see that. That's how observant I am. But I was going to say, I mean, James and I talked about this. We thought that they were definitely going to hit a slump after that Super Bowl loss, just not the way we thought it was going to happen, obviously, but it's tough.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they were semi-healthy in week one against Arizona, and they lost a competitive, tough game. And then just the injuries just kept going. It was Raheem Mostert, it was Richard Sherman, Jimmy G, George Kittle. Literally, if you go through the list, one of our lineups looked like this. We were on our cornerback 6, wide receiver 5. That was against the Packers. Running back 4, QB2, obviously, when you consider that Jimmy's out, tight end 2, when you consider Kittle's out, center 4, literally on our fourth string center. How many teams can say that?
You signed Jordan Reed too, right?
Yeah, and he's banged up. Imagine this. In the year that everyone is banged up, Jason Verrett, Jordan Reed, and Eric McKinnon have been leading the Niners. Yeah,
that's just exactly my thoughts. Like, what
if I needed a tweet tonight? That's the tweet. I'm going
there.
With
we
that.
Go.
Niners faithful, get ready. I have a ton of Niners faith. Honestly, I'm gonna say this. Sometimes my own fan base kind of kills me on Twitter with this Jimmy G like war that started. Guys, we win more games than we lose with him. Embrace Jimmy G at this point.
Yeah, all right. Can't disagree.
All right, well, let's talk about this one here. So, James, this is your chance to lament. The Philadelphia Eagles going into Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3.5-point favorite, but, you know, like if there's ever a game in which you expect them to underperform again, it's against this Eagles that has just been eating a shit sandwich over the last few weeks from the media, especially after that New York Giants loss. This is one that I think most Cleveland Browns fans would say a little bit worried.
I don't know if it's necessarily a trap game, but yeah, a trap game probably still fits. Carson has been a shell, to say the least, of what he was. That I can almost eliminate from the equation, especially with Myles Garrett pinching that edge. I'm hoping, I'm praying, because I'm the world's arguably biggest Baker stan, that he comes back and pops up this game. But kind of after that first seeing OBJ out against the Bengals and seeing him kind of perform without him, being like, oh my God, he can do it. You're starting to realize why you need OBJ out there, because he draws coverage. Even if he's not making plays, he's drawing multiple guys, multiple looks away from the younger receivers or even Jarvis. So I'm glad we have Nick Chubb back. I think they cover. I think they win. I'm going to lock it that I know they win. That's going to hurt me later, but I'll take the plus three.
I'll lock that, boys. I'll lock that down.
Well, you want to talk about bad beats too, in terms of like actually betting that that Nick Chubb touchdown for a ton of people last week. I don't know if you saw any Twitter freakouts, but it was a fun watch. I definitely recommend people look up that hashtag bad beats for this.
Always one. A good one.
What about you, Zach? Where are you going on this game?
I'm going to agree with James. I just haven't seen enough out of the Eagles to, you know, warrant them beating the Browns in Cleveland. It doesn't make any sense for me to pick an Eagles team that's not only banged up, but has Carson Wentz playing quarterback for them. Like James said, I mean, I can't even consider it a shell. He's not even a quarterback anymore at this point.
It seems like he's just checked out mentally.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fair enough. I'm a little bit torn on this one. Since I did have Coach Hugh on the show, so I'm like, should I go with the Browns because I have him on, or should I actually go with the Eagles here because it's the team that he just departed from? You know what? I'm going to say that he's still rooting for those players, and I'm going to go with the Browns. I'm going to go with you, James, this week.
Woo!
Lock it in.
Hey, there we go.
Okay, so another fun division. I think that you mentioned the NFC West might be a fun division moving forward. I think the NFC South is going to be a one to look out for over the next couple of years. And the Falcons are going into New Orleans. Jameis is going to be the starter in that game, as Drew Brees has already been ruled out with collapsed lung, broken ribs, a whole lot of pain and misery for the next few weeks. The Saints are still going to be 5-point favorites in this game, despite the change at quarterback. Last year, whenever Drew Brees went down, obviously Teddy Bridgewater stepped in. They went 4-0. They were fine. But this year, Jameis is obviously a bit of a wild card. He's used to throwing to Saints players. He's also very used to throwing to Falcons players. The bad part about that, he was on the Buccaneers last year. With that said, I still have to believe that I think this team should be able to roll, should be able to beat the Falcons. The Falcons' defense is still bad, and if there's anything that Jameis Winston can do, he can move the offense downfield, take advantage of, obviously, Michael Thomas, the speed guys like Tre'Quan Smith. I think I'm going to go with them by slightly. In terms of, like, the betting line, I actually think I might like the Falcons plus 5, but in terms of winning the game, I'm going with the Saints.
I reluctantly am going to go Falcons on this one. I love me some Jameis, but when you're looking at the Bridgewater transition from last year, Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater aren't that different to quarterbacks. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is more mobile, but he plays it safe. When you're talking about Jameis, you're talking about a guy who's willing to throw over 10 yards. I think he led the league in like the past 3 years of passes over like 20 or 10 yards per attempt. So you're looking at a completely different type of quarterback that you're stepping back there. And week one, I don't think that works. Just, I mean, the Falcons defense is not great, to say it nicely, but I don't think the week one with Jameis goes well. It just fits memes way too well. Give me the Falcons. I don't know about get the spread, but I'll take the Falcons.
Oh man.
That shake right there says a lot.
I mean, you know, if any of you guys that listen to us know me and James, we either agree very much or we disagree wholeheartedly. There's no like, oh, I agree with this or disagree with that. No, it's like, no, screw you, bro. You're wrong. No, honestly, I mean, the Saints are in an interesting predicament. I mean, you know, obviously having Jameis Winston, but I'm looking solely at that defense. I mean, I feel like that they've been, you know, they've been hot and cold all year. They had a really, really good game against the Bucs. But there have been some games this year where you've looked at them and said, man, this team, there's something not right about this defense. I just have that gut feeling that, you know, the Falcons are going to be able to put up points on this defense. And I think Jameis Winston is gonna lose that turnover battle for them. Sorry, can't speak apparently. Yeah, I'm gonna take the Falcons.
Okay, wow. I mean, you know, I think that this, I wouldn't be surprised if you told me the Falcons won this one, because and it would make sense. But hey, the Saints are 7-2 when you look at the end of the day, and people say you're as good as your record is, and at 7-2, that's a pretty damn good record. So I don't think anyone in New Orleans is going to be complaining, whether they've been hot, whether they've been cold. They've been mostly hot in terms of the final game outcome.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the Cincinnati Bengals, they've been a team that's been able to consistently beat the spread over the last, you know, the entire season, honestly. Joe Burrow, doesn't matter who they face, they were able to do that, except last week against the Steelers. They got their ass kicked. They got beat to hell coming off their bye week. And yeah. I think a lot of people were kind of stunned at that, but a little bit more of the Bengals. Certainly on this show, we actually thought a little bit less of the Steelers just in terms of their easiest schedule. But the Bengals will get to their chance to face the Washington football team this week. Washington is going to be a 1.5 favorite at home. Kind of a tough game to predict, but I'm going to go with who has the best player in the matchup. And I'm going to say that's actually Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, with the tools they have on offense. Alex Smith, he looked fine coming into his return. First start, I knew he was going to look better than the games in which he played in spot duty, just given the whole week to prepare. But I just think that the Bengals, they've been the more consistently good team throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Bengals on this one. I think you're right. They're, I mean, for being, what are they, 2-6-1. They're very, we've talked about this, they're very optimistic 2-6-1. They've lost close games. So I think this one should be a win for them. I'm going to take the Bengals as well.
It's like the Gettleman take. He was saying that the Giants were the best 2-7 team that he'd seen ever. That's a phrase to put out there. Yeah, yeah. We're the best 2-7 team that still has a chance to win our division. okay. The next one. So we have the Detroit Lions. This one doesn't have a line posted, so might be a bit of a toss up here. Detroit Lions at 4-5 going into Carolina at 3-7. Panthers, let's see. I don't know if Christian McCaffrey is going to be back in this game. He's out for a few weeks, if I read correctly. Correct, guys?
Yeah, I believe you're right. It looks like CMC is going to be out this week.
The Lions got a win. Anyone want to take the mic on this one?
Zach, you want to go for it?
No, I was just going to say I found Carolina's favored by -3. That was all.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Zach, go for it. Your breakdown of this matchup.
Sure. sorry, guys. I'm all over the place today. I don't know. This is an interesting matchup. I don't know how I feel about either of these teams. I mean, I feel like, you know, both teams have the potential to, you know, really run over the other team. But I don't know either way. I feel like I want to go with the Panthers here because they're at home. I feel like this is just one of those games where if you're the home team, you know, you're going to win. You know, if you have Christian McCaffrey, obviously, which they're not, it's a game changer. Is Mike Davis enough for the Panthers to be able to run, you know, through the Lions? I don't know. I mean, when he's been in, he's been effective. But, I mean, the Panthers' defense has been exposed the past couple of weeks. And they've obviously played some close games against, you know, the Chiefs, name one. So, I'm going to go with the Lions. I'm going to go DeAndre Swift has a pretty good game. I feel like if the ground game for Detroit gets going, they're going to win. I would say they cover, you know, that -3 spread.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think DeAndre Swift and the Lions are more committed to the run game. The run game kills the Panthers. And obviously with Teddy Bridgewater, kind of a question mark this week. I like P.J. Walker. I actually saw a Houston Roughnecks game before the XFL folded in on itself. Not their fault, obviously. COVID kind of ruined everyone's day. But, I'm liking the Lions in this one. Lions plus 3, that's good.
I think I'm going to go against the edge on that one. I think I'm going to take Carolina. And based purely off the fact that Matt Patricia is a defensive coach who has put together an atrocious defense. I think the Carolina pass attack is going to be too much for them to handle. Jeff Okuda has been average at best for being a first-round pick. Give me Carolina.
Okay. I want people to remember in this next matchup that 2017 wasn't that long ago because friend of the show, obviously, MMA Dre, has very fond very poor memories of the last time these two teams met. The Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-0 going into the 1-8 Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe, again, Gardner Minshew is going to be out for this one as well. So, again, it's going to be a James Gooden game, right? Either way, doesn't matter.
Sure.
either way, he has to go against Minka Fitzpatrick. Quick analysis. We shouldn't have to spend that much time on this one, but Steelers going to win.
Steelers.
Yeah.
10-0, though, for those guys. They're really stretching out that lead, so I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be able to catch them.
No, it's super-duper great for Zach and James, Patriots and Browns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I mean, the Browns have a better chance.
Speaking of fun, memorable playoff games in the recent years, obviously the Ravens last year, heavy Super Bowl favorites in the coming out of the AFC playoffs, and they were upset by Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. Well, they get a rematch as the Titans will be going into Baltimore this week yet again. Baltimore is 6.5-point favorites coming off that loss against the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Is it too bold for the Ravens to be almost touchdown favorites in this game?
100%.
100%. Absolutely. 100%.
I think they're trying to play the angry Lamar card, but I don't know if any of us have seen angry Lamar. So, I don't think that's a fair spread by any way, shape, or form.
No.
So, I guess with that said, are we all going with the Titans in the upset pick here?
Oh, I like 100% agree.
I'll take the Titans in an upset.
Okay,
I'll take
well,
Derrick Henry bounce back.
We're going all Titans, so you know what that means. The Ravens are going to win this one.
That was graph.
Normally, we would have the narrative of the two Bills facing each other, but the Texans decided to let go of their Bill earlier in this year. The New England Patriots are going into Houston this week, and they are 2-point favorites on the road. Houston, I got to say, like, even with last week, I know there was a lot of wind in the Cleveland, Ohio area. I think that might have affected some of the game, some of the outdoor conditions. But obviously, when you're putting up less than 10 points with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, that's a big problem, very concern for them. But considering the Patriots played their ass off on Sunday Night Football, I hate to tell you guys, I'm going to go with the Texans at home.
Ooh. Zach, I want to hear your take.
I mean, yeah, I completely understand that. But, you know, it's Bill Belichick. He's coming down. The Texans don't have a coach. I mean, Romeo Crennel took over for them, that head coach, and I understand, you know, Bill Belichick tree, but they're 2-7. Deshaun Watson hasn't looked right, especially without his leading receiver. I mean, Brandon Cooks hasn't been what he's needed at all, nor has David Johnson. I mean, obviously, I don't think David Johnson is playing. And, yeah, I mean, we've played Duke Johnson before in games that I've seen him play against us. He's gashed us a couple times. Even with the injuries, even with Cam Newton being hot and cold, I'm still taking the Pats. I will smash that, you know, 2-point favorite, whatever the hell I got to do. I have a good feeling about this game. I think being in, you know, an indoor stadium with having all of that weather mishap happen last week, it'll be a nice change of pace for them. And I think they'll get the job done.
James?
This is a tough one for me because J.C. Jackson just got disrespected on the Patriots' star young corners by not being initially up for ballot voting for the Pro Bowl. But Deshaun Watson coming off of a 10-point loss, Zach, I'm so sorry. I got to go Deshaun. I think Deshaun bounces back in this one and just pushes through. He's the kind of guy that lifts people to make them better. I'll take them and the spread.
I just don't think that this team is as bad as their record is now, like the Texans, you know? Like you mentioned, obviously losing DeAndre is a huge, like, loss to your team. Obviously, we saw him dunk on three Bills this week. But at the same time, You know, like, I actually don't hate Brandon Cooks, to be honest. I mean, you should have fond memories of Brandon Cooks, right, Zach? He was a Patriot.
Oh,
he was
a
saint. He was everything at this point.
I mean, at this point. I mean, he's a good receiver. Don't get me wrong. I just think that, you know, the further he gets traded, the more assets he loses to his game. I don't know what it is, but he was great for the Saints. He was great for the Patriots. When he played with the Rams, you could see that fall off. And now with the Texans, I mean, he's had a couple of good weeks. Don't get me wrong, but he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, hey, we've benefited from them in the podcaster league. Brandon Cooks, keep giving us good weeks. But I think at this point, we need a meme of him on Will Smith's face for, like, you know, that why doesn't he want me meme, because that's literally Brandon Cooks' entire career.
I know. Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right. Well, let's see. So, I mean, those kind of staying in the AFC East, don't write the Dolphins off yet from winning this division. They're sitting there at 6-3. The Bills are only ahead of them by a game, and they just keep winning games. And you look at this game, they're going against the Denver Broncos, which actually might be a tough travel, obviously, going into Mile High. They are 3-point favorites. That defense is suffocating, and I have a hard time believing that Drew Locke is going to be the one to pick them apart. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins on the road.
I'm also going to back that pick in the Dolphins. I think you're 100% right about Drew Locke. I had a lot of faith coming into him this year. They gave him all the weapons in the world, but Jerry Jeudy, for being as great a receiver as he is, has been non-existent. KJ Hamler's finally getting play, but cool. If Drew Locke can get it. I don't think Drew Locke stays healthy enough to even stay in the league, but in this case, I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, James, I'm 100% with you, and I'm obviously with you, Juju, too. I just think Miami's defense has been as suffocating as you've been saying. Just looking at the past couple of games, they've gotten the job done, and Brian Flores has done an amazing job with that defense. A great turnaround from last year. I mean, last year's season was terrible for them, you know, as a nice way to put it, I guess. But, you know, it's Tua time, boys. Tua time in Miami is alive.
Yeah, when you're throwing four picks against the Raiders and then you face one of the number one scoring defenses in the league, I think that that's kind of like spells all she wrote for Drew Locke, at least for this week's pick. Will the Jets manage to break out of their snide? Coming off a bye week. Now, the Chargers. Now, Aris, one of our colleagues, Slump Buster Fantasy Football, Aris Blakely, the Fantasy Aristotle, obviously huge Chargers fan. And talk about disappointment, because every time you look at this team and you expect them to win and they go into a game, they should win, absolutely. Even as 8.5-point favorites against, again, the lowly, despicable Jets, the 0-9 Jets. They should be 0-10, right? They're going 0-16. Wrong.
Wrong.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the Jets beat the Chargers this week. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to go with that bold hot take of the week. Coming off a bye week, they started to play a little bit better before going into the bye. Why not? If there's ever a team that could blow it. And Justin Herbert, obviously, he just shaved his head. I think it's going to be like the story of Samson when you lose all your mojo by cutting the hair. And I'm going to say that, that was the voodoo curse being thrown on Justin Herbert's young Chargers career.
I don't know if I can condone that win. I'll support you, but I think the Chargers win, but I won't take them against the spread.
I will also agree with you, James. I, as much as my gut is telling me, don't pick the Chargers because of how many leads they've blown in the past 10 weeks.
The Atlanta Chargers.
Oh my God. It's just been atrocious, but I don't think they're going to blow a lead against the Jets, or at least blow a lead in the point of losing.
I feel like the Chargers, though, are consistently that team that prevents 0-16 years. That's their job in the NFL. They're the ones that at least keep the league a little more interesting. They're like the how to describe this? They're like the Bernie Sanders of the NFL. Like, they're trying to redistribute the wins throughout the league, and I think the Jets deserve a win this week, you know?
Yeah, no, that's understandable. I mean, it just sucks for James, though, because, you know, 2016 would have been a perfect time to have the Chargers play the Browns. But
they played them in 2015, though, right? Or no, it was the previous year. Actually, that was the 1-15 year. The Chargers were the lone win for the Browns that
year, my God.
If I recall correctly.
That was uncalled for. All right, oh, I want you to apologize off camera.
Taking shots here. Okay, let's see here. Next one up, this is a fun one. The Green Bay Packers are going into Indy. Indy is a 2-point favorite in this game. And I gotta say, I like it. Because if there's a kind of team that always gives the Packers trouble, it's a team with a stout defensive line, good front seven, like the Indianapolis Colts have. Obviously, we saw Aaron Rodgers versus the Niners last year. I mean, he didn't look that great against the Jaguars last week. I'm going to take the Colts.
I wish I could, like, go against you, but I'm also going to take the Colts. I think the Colts' defense is phenomenal. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone at this point in the season. And I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of trouble with it, even with all the weapons.
I can't. This is for Drew. I have to go Packers. I mean, it doesn't matter if I think they're going to win or lose. I have to go Packers. No, realistically, yes, I like the Colts in this game. Their defense is great, but it's Aaron Rodgers, man. He's got the Aaron Rodgers magic. He didn't play very well last week against the Jags. I've just seen him all season. He has a bad game. He bounces back. I just think he's going to be able to bounce back. He knows how important this game is. I mean, it looks like they have a lock on the NFC North, but, you know, I feel like they're in the driver's seat in the NFC for that one spot. You know, the NFC West, you're going to have that internal struggle. They have to play each other twice a year, and that's the hardest division in the league. The NFC South, you have the Bucs and the Saints who have to – I mean, they've already played each other twice, but, you know, they still have games against each other. I really think this is the Packers, you know, conference to lose. I think he understands the gravity of a game like this, and he wins it.
I don't know. He understood the gravity of a game a couple of years ago against the Cardinals and lost it to them. So I think – but that might have been Mike McCarthy too. You know, stuff like this. Like,
I mean, yeah.
I was all in on the Aaron Rodgers' wash narrative. He had a good start to the year, but there have been a few weeks in which it comes back. And I think that when you face a defense like the Colts, but then again, I'm saying this, but I'm forgetting about a wash potentially Philip Rivers on the other side. So that could be a thing. But I don't know. I still like the Colts in this one. I think DeForest Buckner chasing around Aaron Rodgers is like a thing that translates well regardless of the jersey.
That's also fair.
Yeah, no, honestly, didn't think of it that way, but yeah, also fair.
Okay, next game up. So, thankfully, Cowboys fans, you are going to be spared from Gary Gilbert this week. You won't have to see Cooper Rush or even Ben DiNucci because Andy Dalton is back. Now, does that improve your odds going into Minnesota against the Vikings, who are currently surging, have 3 straight wins all within the NFC North, and have a little bit of a favorable schedule coming up for them, as their next 3 opponents have 5 combined wins? The Vikings are 7-point favorites, though, touchdown favorites, at home. How do you like the Cowboys coming off the bye? Do you think that they could come up with a little bit more firepower, or do you think that Mike McCarthy, this is like it'd be one more nail in that coffin?
Both. I mean, I like having Andy Dalton come back for that offense. I think they're going to get more firepower out of the offense, but they're still the same defense. They're still the same, you know, averaging like, what, 35 points a game against? Like, no. Mm-mm.
Dalvin Cook, fantasy take, Dalvin Cook and eat again. He's going to feast this week coming off that Bears game.
Yeah, he is. That's scary. That is very scary.
I mean, scary if you're facing him, I guess, is the big key there.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Or if you have him on your team, you know, you're just going to fucking win.
Okay, so we're all going with the Vikings here. I've dropped the Cowboys all the way to 31 in my power rankings. That tells you how low I am on the Cowboys.
Valid.
Yeah, like you said, there's defense is just awful, and I don't think that their defense got dramatically better after the bye week. Hell, they were selling off pieces before the bye week. They got rid of Everson Griffin before the trade deadline. I think they know what their team is, and they know this year is just not their year.
Yeah,
much to Cowboys fans' chagrin.
But, yeah, it's time to sell and build, baby.
Yep.
Okay. This next game, so the Sunday night game, actually has a little bit of breaking news going on with it. So the Las Vegas Raiders who have been much subject of discussion in terms of John Gruden obviously getting fined, losing draft picks, losing money over the mask issue. Obviously, you had Trent Brown, their left tackle, who got hit with some massive fines himself for having a little get-together where a ton of them got COVID. Obviously, that already cost them a game, too, this year, because when they played the Bucs, that was a big problem. They didn't have their offensive line. Well, this one, they might not have a majority of their defense, as quite a few players from that team got listed on the COVID protocol. And that's less than ideal when your opponent is the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. You kind of need a defense to play against them. Mm-hmm. They were able to beat them a couple weeks ago in Arrowhead. I think that if Patrick Mahomes, you wanted to play up a revenge game narrative, you don't need to tell him twice to take a part of this Las Vegas defense. I don't see the line posted here on ESPN, but either way, I mean, I'm going to bet the Chiefs regardless. I think that if you could get them at a, what, this game was probably, what, going to be a 5-point line before the COVID news?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you could get 5 points plus Chiefs, or take it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Angry Patrick Mahomes. That no way Vegas does this again. Yeah. Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like obviously, when people say you can write this game off, it comes back and bites them in the ass. But, I mean, with the COVID news, you could most likely write this game off.
Yeah. Unfortunate news if you're the Raiders, especially because they were having fun the last time when they beat the Chiefs. There was that whole story about them and a bus driver as well taking a victory lap around Kansas City. Not going to be taking any victory laps this week. Not going to happen. Okay. Monday night. That's actually a pretty good Monday night game we got here. The Los Angeles Rams going into Tampa Bay. The Bucs are 4-point favorites. That Rams defense has looked good. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, they're doing exactly what you pay those guys to do. And for the Bucs, they had a rebound game coming off that disappointment against the Saints. Another big primetime game for them. I think Brady is going to shine on Monday night. I'm going to take the Bucs.
I think the Bucs offense is too diverse to be stopped by Aaron Donald, who, you might want to fact check this, I'm not 100% sure if this is true, has never sacked Tom Brady in his career. They are too diverse to be able to be stopped by the Rams. Two good pieces, two very good pieces, but I'm going to take the Bucs strong.
I'm going against the grain, guys. I'm going to go with the Rams coming in, stealing a win from the Bucs. Wade Phillips, man, he's still that defensive coordinator.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not.
They have rookie defensive coordinator, or at least a rookie.
When did they fire him?
Before the season.
I never saw that news. That sucks.
They just didn't bring him back.
Yeah, well, fair enough. There goes my entire take. So yeah.
You could tell Zach was super excited. He's like, Wade Phillips, man, this guy, I tell you, he's that salty veteran coach that could pick apart Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, it's just in you know, years prior when they played the Broncos, when Wade Phillips was you know, the coach or defensive coordinator, Brady had a very difficult time, regardless of the weapons he had. But I mean, obviously, if Wade Phillips is a coaching. I mean, I've liked what I've seen from the Rams. I mean, obviously they only have those two key pieces in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but I feel like the other pieces in the defense have been stepping up. And you know, not that I like what I'm about to say, but Jared Goff looking a lot better. Maybe you want to throw up a little bit after that, but you know, the fact still stands.
I would say with that one, when it comes to Jared Goff, yes, looking better, but he still has a little bit of statuesque qualities about him that I believe that the Buccaneers front seven can be able to take advantage of. So defensively, I think they're a good matchup against the Rams. And then offensively, as James said, they are so diverse. Yes, obviously Jalen Ramsey did a fantastic job on DK Metcalf last week, but he's got quite the challenge on hand, whether it be Mike Evans he's lined up across, Antonio Brown, or even Chris Godwin and slot, Jalen Ramsey can't be everywhere on the field for them. So I think that that's going to be a huge problem for them. Yeah, and again, sorry, Zach, I didn't mean to live fact check you on the air.
No, No, honestly, call me out on my shit because I honestly thought Wade Phillips was still on my team.
All right, well, you know, awesome, guys. Well, that closes it out for NFL Week 11. We talked about the Woj bombs. And, you know, talked a little bit of shit going into this fantasy football matchup between us, where absolutely the Slump Buster media team is just going to continue our hot streak. Put together a couple games, won three games. That's what we call a winning streak, boys.
Wow.
Carry it on. Bust that slump, right?
Bust that slump. We'll see. I doubt it. But we'll see.
Not against us, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. And someone you can bust about it. Yeah, not us.
Continuous. Yeah, fine. I don't know if you guys are on, but the draft is already on. And it looks like Minnesota and Golden State have already made their picks.
Oh, okay. Let's get a quick little analysis before we head out. Who was their picks? Let's see.
Minnesota ended up actually going with Edwards, number one overall, and the Warriors went with Wiseman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you have LaMelo sitting there potentially to go three, I guess. Okay, well, you know, hey, at least that LeVar to Minnesota take didn't have to age too long there. Didn't have to ferment too long. But yeah, all right. Thankfully. Awesome, guys. Well, let's see here. James, obviously, I got your favorite all-time sports movie the last time you were on the show. Mm-hmm. But Zach, you are a new face, so favorite all-time sports movie. Go for it.
That is Miracle. Miracle on Ice.
Okay, gotcha. So we definitely have, as the number 25 football podcast in Canada, we definitely have a few hockey fans that listen to us. So I think that they will be very thrilled to hear Miracle get another name drop on this show. Okay. But speaking of things that need to get dropped on the show, go ahead and drop those plugs for Boda. Tell us, guys, where, how, why, all that good stuff of why people should be listening to the Boda Boys.
I mean, it's just your basic degenerate sports talk, right? Like, we're sports comedy. You can find us everywhere at Boda Sports on every social media platform, Instagram, Twitter. We're most active on Instagram, but Twitter, if you want to see me rant slightly inebriated on Saturdays/Sundays about college football and NFL. And then we're on YouTube, Boda Sports. And then our website, thebodasports.news, for all of our blogs. Yeah. And that's all I got.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
All right, guys. Well, you know where we're at because obviously you're listening to the show. So why not just hit that subscribe button? Come on, you're listening. Hit that button. Do it. At Slump Buster Podcast on IG, at Slump Buster Pod on Twitter. Go ahead and follow those. All major streaming platforms. Go ahead and check out manscaped.com, Razor Sport, Nature's Relief, Caveman Coffee, and use promo code SLUMP. Don't be a chump. Use promo code SLUMP. Save a lot of money with all our promo codes. Other than that, guys, you stay safe, happy, and healthy, and we'll see you on the next one.